Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Professor Arnold Nesselrat is one of the chief curators at the Vatican Museums. I went round to call on him at the museums this week to ask him about an exhibition currently taking place in the German city of Dresden at the Gemälde Galerie Alte Meister. This exhibition, timed to coincide with Benedict XVI's visit to his homeland, is called Heavenly Splendor and has as centerpiece a Raphael masterpiece depicting Our Lady, known as La Madonna di Foligno, which is currently featured on the cover of the catalogue of this exhibition. A catalogue which, by the way, is the second most sold book in Germany right now. A centerpiece, above all, which is coupled for the first time in history, at least since Raphael's day, with his famous Sistine Madonna, housed in this German art gallery. But I shouldn't give too much away. I'll let Professor Nesselrat do the talking.
The Madonna di Foligno by Raphael is one of those pictures in the Vatican that have never been lent and are among these objects that the museums never do lend. However, in Dresden they have the famous Sistine Madonna, which everybody knows with the cheeky angels underneath.
And our highly marketed angels.
Highly marketed. We have a similar angel in our picture, sort of an elder brother, and which is not so marketed. But the two pictures were painted in the same year. They probably even stood next to each other in Raphael's workshop. So the possibility to compare the two pictures was a gift of the Holy Father to Germany. And by staging the exhibition in Dresden, the area which he visited was even sort of slightly enlarged.
What did it stem from? Was it an idea of Dresden's Gemälde Galerie Alte Meister?
No. Dresden will celebrate the 500 years of the Sistine Madonna next year. And the Madonna di Foligno could not be lent for the known political reasons, since it's never lent, to this exhibition. So the German embassy thought it would be a good idea if the Pope could foster also a cultural event in Germany, as he had done last year in England with the tapestry exhibition at the V&A. So this is a similar event of the highest cultural importance. And this is also the press the exhibition got, that the Pope has made this event possible.
Can you tell me a little bit about these Madonnas? They're very famous, particularly the one in Dresden, strangely enough, is more famous than the one in the Vatican, which was painted earlier, the Foligno one. They don't look very much alike in the sense that from the naked eye, from the eye of the beholder, someone who perhaps doesn't know much about art, they look very different. The one in Dresden is the later one, and it seems like a vision, no? Whereas the Madonna di Foligno, the earlier one, has two parts to it. There's a heavenly vision and also an earthly one, because it's like a sacred conversation that's going on beneath the Madonna.
The two pictures represent two visions of the Madonna. This is something they have in common. But the Dresden picture shows also four figures in the fresco that have this vision and invite the onlooker to participate in the vision. While the Dresden picture, the Sistine Madonna, is a vision all by itself, where the drawn curtain and the two cheeky angels are sort of the mediators to the reality of the onlooker. But the Sistine Madonna is sort of developed out of the idea of the Madonna di Foligno. And in the exhibition in Dresden, we have a sketch by Raphael, which probably has to be located chronologically between the two pictures, where you can, so to speak, see how the Madonna di Foligno rises and sort of stands up and moves towards the onlooker as she does in the Sistine Madonna. So conceptually, they are linked. Sort of one follows out of the other. The painterly qualities are very similar. Both pictures are painted either in parallel or at either end of the Mass of Bolsena. So if you put the fresco in the stanza in the Vatican and the two Madonnas together, you get probably a complete stylistic evolution of what Raphael is doing in 1512 when he's also interested in Venetian painting, which is a very strong element technically, stylistically, as far as the colors are concerned. And one of the first impressions that everybody had when we came into the room in Dresden was that we finally understood the colors of the Sistine Madonna, because it has this extremely yellow varnish on it. Our Madonna, the Madonna di Foligno, has been cleaned in 1957. We have re-varnished it, and you can see sort of the red and the blue, which is a real Titian red, and the Sistine Madonna is wearing the same draperies as the Madonna di Foligno, which is something that strikes you when you walk into the room in Dresden. But since it's coated with this yellow varnish, you don't perceive this normally when you stand in front of the picture in Dresden. So there are a number of revelations that we have when we see the two pictures together.
From what you're saying, this is the first time since 1511 that the two paintings have been side by side.
This is correct. Both pictures then were kept in a very remote place, the Sistine Madonna in Piacenza, the Madonna di Foligno, which gets put up on the high altar in Santa Maria in Araceli here in Rome. 50 years later, it's moved to Foligno, from where it takes its name, and then only sort of travelers who came by saw these pictures.
Foligno is in central Italy, it's in Umbria.
Foligno is in Umbria, Piacenza is in the north of Italy. They're not places that are generally visited as, for example, Roman churches. And that's why they didn't have such an impact on art history until the Duke of Saxony bought the Sistine Madonna. Then, of course, it became extraordinarily important for people like Winckelmann, for people like Goethe, for people like the Russian writers, Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, and all these people.
They mention it in their novels, do they?
They mention it in their novels. Dostoevsky takes his wife there, and he sits in front of this picture. He prepares her to go into that room, and he almost prays in front of the picture. Hans Christian Andersen, a famous author of the fairy tales, he says every sensible Catholic who comes into that room starts praying. So the Madonna is having an enormous impact culturally, but also spiritually. And the same thing happens with the Madonna di Foligno, because that's taken as a war booty by Napoleon to France. They restore it, then it comes back here, and then it becomes an important picture. But since the Sistine Madonna was not taken to Paris, the two pictures have never been together. The Sistine Madonna was taken as war booty by Stalin to Moscow, and it was exhibited in Moscow. And again, this impact it had on Dostoevsky, it seems to have had also on Stalin, because they sort of created a room in the Pushkin Museum for it, which was like a little church. So basically, in Stalin's Moscow, they venerated the Madonna in the way they displayed it in the museum. So this impact that these pictures have is a fairly late development, but this is also something that we're experiencing now in Dresden, where both Christian parishes, the Catholics and the Protestants, have decided to dedicate the whole of Advent to the interpretation of the Madonna, and in particular to these two pictures.
So the popes, who were patrons of art and artists, got it right in terms of evangelizing.
Well, and I think Pope Benedict got it right, because the impact that these two pictures are having in Dresden is quite extraordinary.
My thanks there go to Professor Arnold Nesser-Rath, one of the chief curators at the Vatican Museums, for speaking to us of the two Raphael paintings currently on show in the exhibition Heavenly Splendor. As a matter of interest, this exhibition also features Albrecht Dürer and Matthias Grunewald. And if you're heading anywhere near Dresden, remember you can see this exhibition until the 8th of January at the Gemälde Galerie Alte Meister. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.